Welcome to another episode of the Tactical Leadership Podcast, where we focus on building better businesses. I believe in order to be the best leader that you can be, you must be willing to be the first follower and have a servant mentality when you're in a leadership position. If you want to be the best leader that you possibly can be sure to stay tuned and listen to industry leaders and hear how they built winning cultures in their own businesses. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Tactical Leader. Today, I have the pleasure of speaking with J.M. Ryerson, and we're going to talk about how he has been a mindset coach helping people transcend in life. Before we begin, I remind you this show is brought to you by Knightly Productions. If you want to create tactical content that delivers, head over to Knightly.production to see how we can help you create that content that delivers. J.M., welcome to the show, my friend.
Zach, thanks for having me, brother. It's truly a pleasure to be on here, man. I love what you're doing.
Man, I'm excited about this because you're another leadership guy. And leadership guys, we get it when we start talking. But beyond that, beyond being a mindset coach, a leadership guy, you also have a podcast, which makes this conversation even easier to go through with. You're the host of Transcend in Life. You're the author of an Amazon bestseller, Let's Go Win, The Keys to Living Your Best Life. And you coach leadership, business, team building, career development, all these great things where you're going to have so many great lessons attached to this conversation. And I want to give the opportunity before we dive into the business side of stuff, the leadership side of stuff, tell the audience just a little bit about yourself that we may not know.
Well, I just recently moved to Boca Raton, Florida. I'm married. I have two kids. The whole impetus of starting Let's Go In is actually for my two boys. I have a 15-year-old and 11-year-old. They truly, you know, the sun rises and sets with those two kids for me. And that was the whole idea of starting the book. So, you know, we were just in Turks and Caicos and we were around a table and we were talking about moms, and I got almost a little tearful because I looked at my wife and she gave me the greatest gift. She allowed me to become a father, which if you ask my parents, that's all I ever really wanted to be, was a dad. I always wanted that. So I guess there's a little tidbit. I love sports. I love watching my boys play sports. So that's kind of me and what I do outside of doing, you know, the Let's Go Win stuff. And so, yeah, man, I love my boys and my family.
Man, I love the family centric aspect of that because so many of us in the entrepreneur space kind of forget about that, right? We focus so much on building that we forget that like the true foundation of what we should be building is in the home. And I love that you have that focus on it. And you mentioned sports. Now I'm going to kind of pick on you a little bit real quick. You were born in Montana. You said you just moved from LA. That's where the wife is from. Now you're in Florida. Who do you cheer for? I have to know because this might not go well after that.
Yeah, no, fair enough. I was raised in Montana, but I was actually born in Madison, Wisconsin.
So oh, no.
Well, look, it's a tumultuous time. It was a really tough year last year. I'm not sure who you root for, Zach, but I am diehard green and gold. Look, the first 17 years of my life, in all fairness, everybody remembers the Favre era and now the Rodgers era, which has been incredible. They didn't have a winning season for the first 17 years. So I went through some stuff.
Well, I'm a Falcons fan, Atlanta born and raised. So we haven't won in my entire lifetime, pretty much, except for that one playoff game that Michael Vick won in Lambeau as the first away team years ago. Let me just throw that little nugget out there for that green and gold love.
I got to say, I'm not an Atlanta Falcons fan. However, that game, Michael Vick, and then there, Kaepernick actually came up and kind of replicated that not too long after, I guess a decade or so. But running quarterbacks, especially as fast as he was, yeah, he kind of took my heart, took it out, stepped on it, and just he had an incredible game. Truly, that game was magical.
I can't even say anything about it because Tom Brady got us back for you several times. So we'll move on past that. We get salty a little bit too quick. And I wanted to kind of talk about that sports piece because over your shoulder, for those that are listening, you might not be able to see, you have several books. You have Champions Daily Playbook and then Let's Go Win, which is your book. Obviously, this is a piece of your life that you kind of applied forward where Let's Go Win. It's very team-centric. It's very developmental-centric where you have to have that teamwork, just like in sports. What does that mean to you as you go through this leadership journey and you help others with their leadership journey? Is that kind of a big focal point of building teams?
Yeah, for me, teams has always been my favorite. So I was actually probably I was a far more gifted swimmer, but that's a very individual sport. And so I love basketball, baseball, football. I mean, you name it, a team sport. I don't know what it is about the camaraderie, but I guess the best analogy I think I can give is I imagine celebrating a birthday by myself. Well, that's not all that fun. Celebrating a birthday with like 20 people, 10 people, whatever it is. That's what I think of when I think of teams, because it's so much better when you collaborate with somebody else, when you can build something bigger than just yourself. And the team, the vibe and getting together, the camaraderie, there's just, look, when you talk to former athletes, you rarely hear them talk about, oh, I remember when I did this. No, I remember the bus ride with the guys. I remember, you know, this trip. And even when we're laughing about our teams, you don't typically think of just a player. You think of what that team meant to you. So I just think when you have a great team that comes together, it is truly magical. And there's some really simple things you can do to make that happen. And so I think that's why I'm so passionate about it. And that's what I've done my entire career is build teams.
And I love that piece because you talk about athletes, you talk about, I'm military, right? One of the best teams in the world. You look at it, all the different backgrounds, socioeconomic, cultural backgrounds that go into a team, a sports team, the military, or you look at an organization where we have some of the most diverse workplaces around in the world. And I noticed something you have on your website. You have this assessment for team builders and business leaders where the audience can go on. They can check out this assessment, see just what it looks like if they are sacrificing what's most important in life for the success, or if they're actually building these teams. I kind of want to highlight that. What is that assessment tool? And what is it that you think would make these teams more effective?
That one, because I believe that in order to lead, you have to lead yourself first. And so that's really checking in on the 10 areas of your life. So for instance, you mentioned, hey, it is good for us entrepreneurs or anybody for that matter to remind themselves what's really important. It's not that work isn't important, but here's what I know. If I'm all out of whack and in my family life, it's going to be hard for me to show up and be really gifted in my professional life. Or if my health is all screwed up, how can I show up and be an amazing dad? And so it's just checking in on those 10 areas is part of it. And the reason I know this is during my second company that I built, I damn near got divorced. This family that I love so much, I almost lost because I completely lost perspective. I was driving it hard. And I just kind of forgot that, you know what? You have to have work-life balance, harmony, whatever you want to call it. It's not just kick ass at one and then it's going to just be, you can just not take care of this over here. It all goes together. So whether it's your health, your hobby, a lot of times I see professionals, they don't play golf or whatever they're into. It's like, you need to do that in order to really show up as your very best.
You know, and that's actually a funny thing you bring that up, because that is a self-mastery is one of those things that I think so many people maybe not fail at, but neglect, where, you know, you can't really fail at it if you're not trying. And I know me personally that in the military, you're trained to compartmentalize, right? Law enforcement, I was trained to compartmentalize that self-care, that self-worth essentially attached. Like, we got to go accomplish the mission. What are those things that you do to kind of focus on that self-mastery piece? Do you have a daily routine, or do you meditate, journal? What are those things for you?
Yeah, absolutely. And real quick, just to military, to the law enforcement, thank you for that. And it is one of those things that I compartmentalized, and I'm sorry, I'm not answering your question directly, but it's one thing if I could change, because so often that gets neglected with these amazing human beings that give us these rights, give us the safety, the security that we have in our nation. And I wish that there was more self-care focus there. Specifically for myself, I believe in taking care of three things: your mind, your body, and your soul every single day. Do I do more than that? Of course. Yeah. I mean, like, do I meditate every day? Yes. Do I set my intention every day? Yes. Do I journal every day? Yes. Then I do the mind, body, soul. I do my brain game. So I have my set thing that I do. And to some people, when I tell them this, it seems overwhelming because it's too much. That's why I like to simplify everything and say, look, that works for me because I thrive in that routine, But for you, maybe it's like, I can only provide 15 minutes of self-care. Cool. Let's make sure we take care of our mind, our body, and our soul. If you do those three things, just those three, I think you have a much better chance. And that's the whole idea of Let's Go Win. It's setting you up, not for wins or losses necessarily. It's setting you up to be in the best position to win every single day. That doesn't mean you're going to win. Look, I lose and fail every single day. I'm really good at failing, actually. I might be one of the best fails I know. But it's literally setting up myself up so I don't get knocked down and not get back up. It's like, cool, I get back up, I'll do my routine again, and I'm going to give my best. So that's the whole idea, Zach, that I do every single day.
I love that. And, you know, it's funny, the military is huge on acronyms. And I've said it a couple times on this show, but FAIL just stands for first attempt in learning. And maintaining that mindset towards growing, or let's go win. I mean, the podcast, the book, your whole journey, your business is all about let's go win. And I love the inclusiveness attached to that. Right? Where you're not focused on you go win, I go win. It's let's go win, where you're developing this culture that kind of focuses all the way around each piece of that. What is the podcast kind of meant to you in that journey? Is that like a self-discovery piece? Are you connecting people that are, and I've seen you've had several professional athletes on there, some high-end individuals on your show where they understand that teamwork environment. Is it a journey to kind of like share those experiences with your audience?
100%. It doesn't matter if they're an athlete or an executive, they might be a chef. One of my most interesting guys was a dentist of all things. He was incredible. And so I just want to share those stories. I want to get them out. I want people to be inspired, because the whole reason the company even exists is to inspire people to live their best lives. And if you can do that as an athlete, cool. If you can do it as a dental, let's tell people how you were able to do that. And I love the way your show's set up. Here's the story, and then here's your tangible steps that you can do. I just think that you apply something so basic and so beautiful. It's called learn, apply, reflect. And you do the reflection piece, it sounds like, on that Wednesday. But as I told you pre-show, what a cool setup. Your audience is so blessed to have that.
Man, I love it because it lets us do different things, right? We get to fall in love with you today. And I love that piece of it, because at the end of the day, as a leader, what you have to understand is we're all in sales, right? We have to sell ourselves every day. You have to be able to build that trust factor to being a leader in order to be able to influence people and be able to have that impact on people. And that's a huge piece that I really like about a lot of what you're putting out, is that trust factor. You seem to be very vulnerable, very forthcoming. And I mean, writing two books, I mean, obviously that's a vulnerability piece, but putting yourself out there so much, what would you say is that characteristic that you define as like the most important for a leader to have? Could it be that vulnerability, or is there something else that you've seen?
I'd have to go there, just because I think it is the cornerstone of people really buying into it. Now, you mentioned the military several times. I tend to follow a lot of the SEALs, the way that they do their training. And what they are so hardcore, especially when they go through BUDS, because look, you are going to see them at their most vulnerable. Now, I've never had the opportunity. I can't even imagine it, but they see these people break. They see them go all the way down. And I think that's so important, because now you know what the heart of a man truly is. It's not this macho bravado. It may have started there, but when they kick their ass that much through that training, they really learn who this person is, what they stand for, who they are, how they're going to show up. And so that's my biggest thing to leaders, is don't put on the mask. Show your people who you are, because people could buy into Zach being true who Zach is, right? If Zach is not putting on the mask that he's, but when he's saying, here I am, here's my accolades and here's my faults, I wear all of it on my sleeve or in front of you, that's when people can buy in and say, I'll follow that guy to the ends of the earth. So I love that you use that so often, because I think the military is one that we should model a lot of our leadership after, because again, they're dealing with life and death. We're not. I'm not dealing with life and death every day. I'm dealing with hopefully helping people live their best lives, but they have serious consequences if they don't show up. So that's why I love how much your show is based on that. And that's why so many of the books behind me, they do come from a military background and they talk about it. Now, I've never experienced it other than just academically.
You know, but I think that's such a great point to study, because the military, not just American military, but militaries across the world from the endless times have some of the best leaders attached to them. You know, Hitler did not have good intentions, but was he actually a good leader? Absolutely. Right. That can't be a thing that's argued, because he had the influence of so many people. So while his intentions were wrong, you look at like that leadership aspect from the military, we are taught that science behind, you know, this is what a leader looks like. One of the reasons I joined the military, to be transparent about it, was I wanted to lead troops in combat. If you can say two words and they react and they know, like, trust you enough to know it's in their best interest and they react, that is a great test of leadership. And then that took, you know, lessons from the battlefield to the boardroom. And now we're trying to just shift that into it. But where I see a failure, and this is where I love your perspective of, if you're studying these military leaders, the military teaches the science. The military says, this is doctrine. This is the black and white of what a leader is. If you are not these things, you are not a leader. But they kind of fail on the application of it at times, the art of leadership, not just the science of being a leader. How would you kind of define that application where you're taking those lessons where you appreciate in the SEALs and then applying them through? How's that application process look? How's that application process look? And how does it kind of help you formulate things for clients and organizations?
Well, I do it just the same as you do, brother. I learn something and I tell people, look, here's where I learned this. I'm going to apply it right now. And that means I'm going to win sometimes. I'm going to fail sometimes. It happens all the time. And then I'm going to say, look, if we're sitting here saying we have this 100% nailed down, this is the perfect system, we've lost. The moment you think you have the perfect management leadership style, you have lost. Now, to your point, and Hitler's such an interesting, we could talk about this for hours, because when you said influence, he had some of the best influence, greatest influence, I should say, greatest. Let's use that correct terminology.
Right. Just the one little word had. Makes a difference.
Yeah. But, you know, behind it, he was able to do some incredibly destructive things, but you can't argue that as a leader, he was powerful, specific to what we do. Learn, apply, reflect. Learn something, and I share that. When I read something, I want my leaders to know about it. I'm not going to keep that. So often I've seen leaders learn something, they'll be like, ooh, I'm going to put that in my Rolodex and keep it to myself. That is A, shameful, and B, it just tells you that they have a real, you know, lid, to use Maxwell, their leadership lid is only so high. When you're willing to share anything and everything and say, there's plenty of room at the top, everybody, I want everybody to be here, that's when people can buy in, because you're not putting a ceiling on them. That doesn't mean I don't respect the hierarchy, right? To go back to the military, I understand why there's a hierarchy. However, I will welcome everybody to say, look, I want everybody to learn these lessons, to apply them, and then reflect on how they're doing it and how is it helping our organization, good, bad, or indifferent. And so I guess that's the growth mindset part of it, brother, like that. I love to learn new things and I love to share it with people that want that. People want to be better. I truly believe that. So why, if I read something, why don't I share that with them? Why don't we try that together and fail or win together and then do it again, do it again, do it again.
Man, I absolutely love that, because it builds that team rapport, that camaraderie attached to each other. And I think in this day and age with the remote environments, that's an even more difficult thing to do as a leader, where a lot of leaders, I think, kind of checked out when COVID hit and stopped applying, or went the opposite direction and started micromanaging. And it seemed like from just in Atlanta, we're talking to clients and talking to other organizations, that it was very either or, and there was not very much in the middle. Have you seen any good ways in this new age environment that's so remote to kind of integrate that still into teamwork and into developing that camaraderie?
Yeah, you know, it's going to go back to literally the heart. It's so funny, because leaders so often want to sound and look a certain way, and especially if they're micromanaging, quote unquote, if they would just ask that person. So let's say you and I are, Zach, we're on a team together, and I say, hey, Zach, how you doing, brother? Like, how is COVID treating you? And you say, oh, I'm fine. No, I mean, like, how are you really doing? Is your head good? Are you still working out? Are you doing the things that I know are important to you as a leader? I should know those things. How are your kids? How's your family? How's, you know, whatever it is with your particular circumstance, the biggest failure I've seen leaders do is not ask those personal questions. They'd go in guns charging. We got to do this so we hit this metrics. Forget about that for a second and just talk to the human, because we're all experiencing something together as a nation and actually a world that we've never gone through before. So there's new emotions attached to it. Why don't you just ask how they're doing? The moment you do that, you are going to open up, not in a bad way, Pandora's box to them saying, I do have some challenges. Here's why I didn't, or maybe why I didn't, my work wasn't perfect. And then as a leader, you can say, all right, how can I help you overcome that particular challenge? Is there anything I could be doing to make your life better? So that would be honestly, and it's literally going back to emotions. You can move mountains with it. Just ask some personal questions and see how they're doing before you dig into the business. Just like you did on this podcast, by the way, same idea.
Man, I think it's phenomenal advice and something that, you know, it kind of goes unstated. We forgot the human aspect. We forgot that we're all human, and really the remote environment can be great for a lot of employees. No, in Atlanta, that 2-hour commute that we don't have to do twice a day anymore is phenomenal for a lot of people. And kind of emphasizing those aspects of things, I think, is really valuable. But you got to remember, they're still human. You know, all these pandemic puppies that people have gotten to keep them cheered up because we've been stuck in the house for so long, as I have mine passed out right behind me, right? Like, it's one of those that, you know, really makes a difference as a leader to focus on those human aspects and that human engagement. And I really appreciate that piece of your story as well. And I'm curious, is there a resource that you've mentioned a few different great ones? Is there one in particular that you could point back to, whether it's a book or a podcast or something that you were like, man, this is what kind of was the catalyst attached to my leadership journey?
Wow, that is a great question. I'm going to say The Advantage by Patrick Lencioni. And the reason I say that is he's so clear on culture in that book where you're like, wow. I've read it probably 6 or 7 times because I wanted to understand. I wanted to get it down. Now, this is not necessarily a leadership book. I'm going to give you 2. Man's Search for Meaning, if you've never read it. If you want perspective as a human being, as a leader, read that book, and it's awful.
Viktor Frankl, right? I just listened to it like 2 weeks ago. That book, wow. Like, huge, huge value add to that. Absolutely.
It's one of those books that is truly, and I know life-changing, life-altering, that word gets thrown, those two words get thrown around maybe a bit too much, but I will tell you from a perspective piece, it does. This book has shaped the way I think. It's shaped the way, you know, when you have problems, do you really? I mean, they are so first world. They're like not really challenges when you have in the grand scheme of things. So unfortunately, as human beings, we need that, right? We need that perspective. That book will provide it.
Man, yeah, and they're all great ones. Extreme Ownership, and then they had that follow-up, Dichotomy of Leadership. Both of those books were just absolutely huge, especially hearing from that military mindset that I really appreciate. And I'm real curious. I mean, you're obviously doing great things. You're wanting to win with people. You're wanting to help people win as teams. I'm really curious, what is the legacy you want to leave on the world with all the things you've done, all the effort you're putting into, all the knowledge you're putting out there and helping the audience find? What's that legacy you're wanting to leave on the world?
And that's such an interesting question, and it's a good one. Legacy, I've reshaped that, what that means to me so many times. In my mid-20s, it was all about, you know, the wealth, generational wealth I'm going to leave behind. That was what it was. Then as I got into my mid-30s, it was more focused on, okay, maybe I write a couple things or I'm known. None of that means my kids, I mean this, I want 2 human beings that impact the world in a very positive way. Now, do I want more than that? Of course. I want to inspire. The goal of Let's Go Win is to inspire people to live their best lives. It's a goal that's unattainable. I knew that when I wrote it, but it's what I want. And because my legacy I want, I guess, and I try not to use the word I very often, but specific to this question, I want Let's Go Win to continue to thrive and shape minds for the betterment of people. And I'm passionate about it because if we can learn these things and we can share just a couple little things that could make somebody's life that much better, what can they do with that? And then you think about paying it forward or the domino effect, and you just get these things and you're like, this world could reshape so quickly with just a couple ideas. And it's not one idea, right? Let's Go In is going to be a sliver of that. And then there's going to be your show. There's going to be some of the other guys that we've talked about where you're like Elon Musk, this guy is truly shaping the world to be a better place. I truly believe that. So specific with Let's Go Win, that would be my legacy, along with two human beings that really are great human beings, because those I get to shape every single day with my two boys. I'm proud of who they are and the young men they're already becoming. So that's my legacy, brother.
I absolutely love it. I mean, an amazing legacy and an amazing journey you're on, and already providing such great wisdom. I want to give the audience an opportunity, from the books to the podcast to just your content in general, your website. I think it's all pretty simple and pretty named similarly, but go ahead and tell the audience, what's the best way to reach out, contact, and follow you?
Yeah, letsgowin.com. I do blogs. Actually, that I think might be the work I enjoy the most every single week. So that's on there. You can follow on Let's Go Win 365 on any of the social media platforms. And then ultimately, if you enjoy hearing my voice, which apparently I have a good voice for radio, which I think that means not a great one for TV. I think is
a great face for radio, right? Like, I'm sure your wife has said that once or twice, you know.
and Let's Go Win podcast, and that one's just a lot of fun. You know, again, I'm envious the way you set up your show, because I love that breakdown. But we have some pretty cool guests on there, and I think you guys would get a lot out of it. So those would be the three spots to find us.
JM, I love it, man. It's such great stuff. I encourage the audience, go check them out. All that will be in the show notes. Make sure you check that out. But also make sure you come back this Friday for Tactical Friday, where JM's going to really hit us with the good stuff. JM, thank you so much for your time, my friend.
Brother, my pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Tactical Leadership Podcast, and I hope you got a ton of value out of what we talked about today. I also want to remind you that this show is brought to you by Knight Protection Services. If you're a leader in a small to mid-sized business that does $5 to $10 million a year in revenue and want to improve retention costs, which could actually add up to being twice your employee's salary, all through creating a safer work environment and saving up to 25% in insurance costs, be sure to visit knightprotectionllc.com.